You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everyone, welcome to your latest Wolves Fancast match preview. It's FA Cup quarterfinal week, so thanks for joining us tonight on the Wolves Fancast. You can find us at Wolves Fancast across all social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, MySpace, Bebo, wherever you want to get yourself involved in, we're probably there already. On tonight's show, I've got with me the veteran of the Wolves Fancast, Stu. How are things with you, Stu?
I'm okay. There was a late fitness test, so I have gone for tea today rather than alcohol. But no, I'm still here. That's the main thing. And I'll be fit for Saturday. That's the main.
Loves Sean Dyche that much. He started to sound a little bit like him.
Look what happened last time. We won the league easily last time this happened. So
fingers crossed it's another successful season for the old golden black. The inimitable John Cooper joins us once again. How are you, John?
I'm good. Looking forward to Saturday.
It's a big week, John. Obviously, you've tasted success for Wolves at Wembley in the past. We'll talk about that a bit more in depth later on. And we've got Gary Stubbs. How are you, Gary? Tell us a bit about yourself, what you do for the Coventry City supporters.
I run coaches from a place called the Sky Blue Tavern, which I think Stu's visited. He can vouch for it. So I run support coaches to pretty much every away game on behalf of Dylan's Brewery, who run the Sky Blue Tavern and several venues across Coventry. So, I've done that for a number of years now, actually.
Roughly how many coaches are you taking east to west on Saturday?
Me personally, I think we've only got the one, but I think it might be a double decker. I imagine there'll be... Yeah, I've only got the one, actually.
A double decker?
A double decker coach?
Yeah, you never heard of those in Wolverhampton.
No, we're still on horses and carts in Wolverhampton. Yeah. I'm still taken aback by that. I've never seen a double-decker coach before.
Never?
I've got to back up a Coventry colleague here. I've seen them. Yeah, they're quite posh, actually. I must admit, things must be looking good in Coventry.
They must be like importing this double-decker to Coventry, because I've been to Eagle Street in Coventry and there's nothing posh in Coventry as far as I know. I've been to the Caspar in Coventry. Apart from that, I think I went to like an MMA fight at the Coventry Arena when it was a few years ago. And yeah, it's there's only one good thing in Coventry: the road out of it. But we'll talk about I'm getting in early to these East Midlanders.
East Midlands.
what would you class yourself if you're not East?
Well, we used to be Warwickshire, but now we are West Midlands, apparently.
CD6, East Midlands, we move on. It's a massive week for both clubs. We're both probably punching above our weights in from what we've done over recent years. I was thinking about this earlier, how far Coventry City have come from the last time that we played them in in League One. Ground sharing at Northampton last season was a penalty shootout away from the Premier League. They've really come a long way, Gary.
Yeah, if you'd have said to me 5 years ago we'd be challenging at the top end of the Championship and finally rid of our owner, Sisu, and we've got an owner that's investing in the training ground, investing in the team. We've got a decent deal at the CBS Arena, what used to be the Ricoh Arena, although albeit we don't actually own it. But there's a reconnect between the fans. The manager, obviously, Mark Robbins, just has celebrated his 7th year anniversary. And it's chalk and cheese, really. It's absolutely amazing. And from being down there in the depths of League Two and genuinely fearing that we could either lose the club or end up in non-league to being where we are now, it makes you appreciate it all the more, believe me, as you probably know, because you've been down to League One.
briefly, yeah. But we had a good season that year. Obviously, we want to stay in the Premier League as much as we can and hopefully be successful in that league. But we had some good times in that League One. And, yeah, I don't want to go back there. I wouldn't want to be against it.
Let's not just remember League One. Many of us can remember Division Four and being knocked out by Chorley in the FA Cup. So League One was good compared to some of the stuff that we had to go through.
That's my ignorance, John. As I said, you're on for a reason, John, to give us that that expert Wolves memory and
taste
of Game Zero.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a compliment.
It's obviously it's massive this week. Wolves have the biggest opportunity to get to another FA Cup semi-final. Coventry City fans will be thinking the sound that they got the best draw available. Probably would have preferred it at the CBS Arena, Gary. But it's going to be a big game on Saturday. Wolves are massively hit by injuries. Coventry are slowly sort of coming into form towards the business end of the Championship, Gary. You won 2-1 away at Watford last week. I looked at the stats and it didn't seem a comfortable victory, but was that good performance from Coventry or Watford? That's why Valerian Ismail got sacked.
To be honest, Watford were really good for the first half hour. I mean, the goal we conceded was poor, really. I think it was a long throw or a corner that came in and it went straight over our keeper's head. They were good for the first half hour. We got a penalty kind of towards half time, which we scored, and then they just caved in. And you can see why they are where they are, because they've just got no fight. And to be fair, second half we were a lot better and we deserved the win in the end. But it certainly wasn't a comfortable win, I wouldn't say, but it was a hugely necessary win to keep pace with the likes of the Baggies and Norwich and what have you.
Yeah, Albion are pretty much close to cementing their place in the playoffs for me. But if you and Hull City can pull something out of the bag, we'll be massively grateful. John, obviously, myself and Stu was on the reaction show for Wolves' 2-1 win over Fulham last weekend. What was your thoughts on the performance and the result as a whole?
Yeah, I was at the game. I mean, our second half was much better, of course, than our first half. But that's to be understood because we lost Bellegarde and we lost Neto very early on. And what that game really showed me is two things. One, what a lot of people already know about Wolves is we got fight. We got the sort of stuff that I think Gary didn't see at Watford. We've certainly got fight and spirit, certainly in adversity as well. But it also reminded me what a very good manager we've got. Because Gary O'Neill had to react very swiftly to losing two influential players on the field and had to make some really important in-match decisions. And once these decisions were made in the first half, they took a while just to gel together. But in the second half, I thought we played very well indeed. We rode our luck. Fulham, to be quite honest, should have scored quite a few. And in fact, probably should have scored more than we scored. We were let off a lot of times, but I think we deserved that, in my view, to be let off, given what Gary Neal had to contend with in the first half. So my overall note on it is a great win, but it just emphasises what a very good manager we've got.
Massively agree, John. You mentioned it there to a degree that we rolled our luck, but for me, defensively, well, as a unit, we earned our luck last Saturday.
Sure. I agree.
Some of the players are absolutely playing out their skin. Mario Lemina and Stu, we talked about it on the reaction show.
Yeah.
Just remind the people how much we fawned over Mario after last week's win.
I mean, I'm quite surprised that you haven't got the Mario T-shirt instead of Cunha's behind you. Because it was one of the most complete midfield performances I've ever seen in my entire life. And the fact that he just turned into a winger out of nowhere. I don't know, Danny's in the comments there, so they talked about it on Whole Lot of Wolves yesterday, about he's got to be in the running for Player of the Year. And you look at that performance, and I can't believe a 30-year-old bloke who's never played in this kind of role before can play so brilliantly and look like a world beater. And it's like I said on Sunday, I think he's better than he thinks he is, let alone what we think he is. Because he has got attacking threat. We saw that against the winner against Spurs. He knows where the goal is. It wouldn't surprise me if he's played on the wing again.
Yeah, that's something we'll talk about a bit more in depth as the programme progresses. I've already mentioned it's a massive weekend, not just for us, but Man City at home to Newcastle follows us on Saturday. Chelsea versus Leicester on Sunday at 12:45. And then the FA Cup weekend concludes with Man United at home to Liverpool. Just excluding our fixture there, Gary, give us your sort of three picks for winners of the other three ties.
You can't really see past Man City, can you, really, for that one? Chelsea-Leicester, I don't know. I mean, Chelsea, I'd say, probably improving a bit recently, aren't they? But their home form prior to the last kind of couple of months has been absolutely dire. So you never know about an upset there. Man United, Liverpool, hopefully, I wish they could both lose, but I imagine it will be Liverpool going through on that one. But you never know.
What about yourself, John? Man United, Liverpool, where's your money at?
Yeah, I'd go for Liverpool as well. I think they're a team that know how to win and when to win. I mean, if Manchester United come out and play the way they can play on the odd occasion, they could snatch it. But I'd go for Liverpool. I mean, I'm going for Manchester City. I think they've got too much. But I'm going to take a punt on Leicester. I think Leicester might sneak a win. Mm-hmm. And so I'd go for Leicester, Liverpool and Man City.
What about yourself, Stu? I'm going against the grain. I think Man United are going to beat Liverpool on Sunday. Liverpool playing the Europa League tonight. Obviously, they're still a bit threadbare with the amount of key players that they've still got out injured. I think Mohamed Salah's starting for tonight. Can he play two back-to-back games in such short space of time after coming back from injury? Where's your money at on those other three fixtures, Stu?
Man City's the obvious one because Newcastle are a joke.
10-1 Newcastle are to win that game. When I looked earlier, Coventry was 4-1.
There's a reason for it, though, isn't there? I mean, Newcastle are not a very good football team at the minute, other than when they play us, obviously. I'm with John. I think Leicester will do Chelsea. They've got something about that team. And Chelsea, again, playing how they are, they're as erratic as Man United can be. But, yeah, if I was doing a triple there, I'd say Man City, Leicester and Man United, because I think, other than the Klopp farewell tour, which seems to be ingrained into law by referees and Sky and everyone else, I think they're going to slip up somewhere. And it'll be funny just to see him lose another competition, just to be out of it. So, with a heavy heart, I'll say Man United.
Thanks to everyone who's joined us live on the YouTube and Twitter pages. Please press the like button, share if you can. I've got quite a few people commenting. I'm going to go with Tara Courts, who literally simply says Gary Stubbs in capital letters. I'm all for comment chanting, guys. Plenty more of that. Glenn from the Sky Blue Hub asks, John, what do you think is Wolves' biggest weaknesses? Will the pressure and the expectation get to the players?
I would have said a couple of years ago, yes, it would. I would also have said a couple of years ago, a lot of the players we had, however good they were and however committed they were to the team, didn't quite understand it, didn't quite get it, didn't quite get the FA Cup. But on this occasion, we've got a group of players, and I'm going back to the manager, we've got a manager who understands the importance of this game. So I don't think they're going to underestimate it. I think our weakness comes from our injury problems. And with all due respect to Coventry, and I've got a lot of time for Coventry and was rooting for them against Albion when I was watching the game. You let us down there, guys. But as far as we're concerned, that was Coventry are getting us on probably at the best time because of our depleted position. There's rumours that Cunha is going to come back. I'm just a little worried that we don't push him back too quickly because he's going to be very important to us in the run-in on the Premier League, and we're in decent position for a European place there. So I'm in Gary we trust as to how to use Cunha if he is available. But in answer to the question, I think our weakness is the depleted team that we have and a very, very small squad. If we play to our strengths, though, with all due respect to Coventry, we should win.
I think there's going to be a lot of that sentencing throughout the whole of this episode, Gary, without trying to be offensive, but
No, I completely agree.
Without being derogatory to Coventry, Wolves, what this Wolves team, like sort of John just alluded to there, I've not questioned the professionalism or the commitment or the effort from this group of players. I think if Pedro Neto, Huang and Cunha were all fit, I wouldn't be going into this game with any nerves. But like John's mentioned, the amount of forward players that we've got missing on Saturday, it's not going to be an easy game. You're bringing close to 5,000, I believe it is, maybe a couple of hundred over to Molineux. You always had a decent atmosphere, and I've remembered games in the past Yeah, it ain't going to be an easy game for Wolves. One question that we've had in the comments section, Gary, from a Wolves fan, and that's pretty much a simple question. Do you miss Jacques? How much of an impact has his goals been, has affected you this season?
We missed him at the start of the season, but also we missed Hamer left after two games and went obviously to Sheffield United. So we started very slowly, as you probably realise. I think we were bottom of the table with about 4 points after seven games. We definitely miss Jokeres, but bizarrely, actually, the money from the Jokeres sale has allowed us to strengthen the team as a whole. So actually, we've scored more goals than this time last season, and the goals are spread out more over the team. I mean, we bought in Hadji Wright. He came from Antalyaspor from Turkey, and I think he'd scored something like 15 in 29. And he had a very slow start, and we bought in Ellis Sims from Everton for about $3.5 million. And to be fair, Ellis Sims started even slower. He's starting to pick up. And you'll probably see on Saturday, neither of them are anywhere near the finished product. But it was the same when Jokeres came in. We got him on loan from Brighton. He'd just been out on loan at Swansea, and I think he had like one goal in 11 games. And they were using him off the bench and barely playing him. I think he got three goals for us in that loan period. And you could see there was a spark there, but he wasn't quite sure. So when we actually signed him for $1 million, none of us were actually that impressed with the signing, but we turned him into a beast. And he's even better now. I mean, I think he's playing tonight for Sporting and he's got like 25 goals. So yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that we miss Jokeres, but Jokeres is a completely different style of player. Jokeres could hold the ball a turn, run half the length of the pitch and stick it in the net. We haven't probably got those kind of players now, but we've got a better all-rounded squad. But yeah, you're always going to miss a player like Jokeres.
Have you got a sell on fee for him?
Yeah, the rumour is about 10%. So fingers crossed he moves for about 80 to 100 million this summer.
Well, Andy Brassel was talking about that on the Ramble the other day, saying that he wouldn't be surprised if a Premier League team come in for him. I mean, I said all of last season, didn't I? No one listens to me yet again.
Right than not.
Bizarrely with Jokeres, last season, his worst attribute was his finishing. And we all said, you know, if he could actually improve his finishing, he would be absolutely unstoppable. And actually, he does seem to have taken it to the next level at Sporting. So, yeah, we do miss him. But do we miss him as much as I thought we would? Probably not.
I've just seen what Mike just said on the comments about it seems just the sort of player we should be looking at, given our search for strikers.
There was tabloid reports, wasn't there, Stuart, that Wolves were linked to Jokeres before he joined Sporting. I hate blowing smoke up your arse, Stuart, but you were pushing for that Jokeres deal, I believe, from sort of the January transfer window of last season.
It looked like a steal. It looked like an absolute steal because of his contract issue. And I thought, well, if we've got any money at all, which I'm not going to go down that route again, if we've got any money at all and we need to buy someone, a striker at least, go and get him. Just because he's in the Championship doesn't mean he's not good. And look what's happened. So, but for every one of them, there is a Hamer who hasn't played when he's playing in one of the worst teams of all time, which doesn't help. But he hasn't set the world alight as I thought he would there. So you win some, you lose some with that.
Same sort of vibes around him and as Jokeres for me, like Gary's just mentioned, his hold-up play, his link-up play, the fact that he could pretty much just run a defence on his own would have been key for us last season. Wolves didn't take the plunge, and like you just mentioned, he may go for a fee close to 80, 90, 100 million pounds in the summer. I think Chelsea have been linked to him, and who knows what they're going to throw at someone like Jokeres. They're playing Monopoly with a cheat code out of Chelsea. John mentioned it. We're talking about players that have been missed. Matheus Cunha, Wolves revealed, was back on the grass training at Compton this week. We did post a video via João Gomes' Instagram page yesterday of João Gomes roughhousing him in the training in the dressing room at Compton. It's looking like Wolves fans he's going to feature this weekend. Don't think it's going to be soon enough for him to start. I feel it might be sort of a joker in the pack type situation, John, with Cunha. If we need to affect the results, that's the ploy, isn't it?
I totally agree with that. And it goes back to what I said a little earlier. We've got to look after him. How many games? 9, 10 games left in the season, important games. And, of course, we've got Villa coming up as well. I just think in the heat of this sort of football match on Saturday, which is going to have a degree of excellent but a fruity local rivalry going about it, we don't want to see Cunha coming back with another injury or exacerbating the injury that he's just come back from. So I think he will be used delicately, maybe the last half hour, particularly if we need him, because it's going to be a close game.
That's it. Talking from a, because obviously we haven't had your presence for a while, John, is Europe a possibility for you, John?
Yeah, I think it certainly is. I look at some of the other teams that we're competing with in that mini league, as it were. Although Brighton did win, I think, on Saturday, Brighton do seem to be losing their oomph at the moment, and they're certainly out of Europe themselves. I think they were beaten significantly 4-0, was it, by Roma recently. But West Ham are going to maintain their interest in Europe, which is going to drain their energies and resources. And I think that, subject obviously to a cup run, which we all want in the FA Cup, we and taking into account our short squad as well, these are all points against the argument. I think we still got a significant chance here. It's a very interesting mini league with teams on the 40s and around. We still got a good chance, and I'm sure the lads think that as well. Back at Molineux,
I feel like there is a vibe and a mentality around the club at the moment. I think there was an article, wasn't there, Stu, where it was mentioned Mario Lemina, I think, had spoken to Matt Hobbs, and Mario Lemina was of the impression that Wolves will be in and around the European places come the end of the season. Big game away again to Villa next week. Got a good record against Villa in recent years. Would you look at having Cunha feature this weekend, or just next week come into your mindset?
It's not next week, is it? It's an international break.
Oh, sorry,
which is even better. So I'm 100% with John. Leave him on the bench. Give him his little pom-poms. Let him be a cheerleader again. That's all we need him for, hopefully. But if he's been, whatever that kind of jiu-jitsu madness was going on in that video, he ain't going to be even doing that if he's remotely in doubt. So I'm amazed he's back as quick as he is. But like we've seen this before. We've seen it with Neto. We saw it with when we had Dr. Death here and the amount of players that got fucked over by them idiots. It seems to be people who've got knowledge now, other than Neto because he's cursed. The videos and these pictures, they wouldn't put this out if he was a doubt, would they? So I still wouldn't play him from the start. Absolutely not. But yeah, if he can get away with the last 20 minutes, if needs be, and then persuade Brazil not to take him and leave him here, just let him get better properly, and then start him against Villa, and we'll batter them as well.
I think also it'd be interesting to watch Nathan Fraser again. I'm a big fan of his. He's only a young lad. I watched him again against Fulham. You know, he's a totally different player to the sort of players we've got at the moment. From what I can see, and I'm only just getting to grips with him, he's not a particularly fast player with a turn of pace. He's not that sort of striker, but he does get into positions, and I think with confidence he'll be a good player. So I think Nathan Fraser again would probably thrive in this sort of game that's coming up on Saturday, and I like him. But he's a different sort of player than we're used to. And I love the fact that when he was substituted on Saturday, the crowd were chanting Nathan Fraser is one of our own, which shows that, you know, Molineux is behind him and know the importance of nurturing a young guy's talent.
He's a bit of a throwback.
I wish I had technical money behind me.
What's that?
I wish I had technical money behind me. What were you saying, Stu?
He's a bit of a throwback in the kind of striker that he is. Which we haven't had for a long, long time. And I know people bring up the Proud Lock thing, and he kind of is. He does remind me a bit of Proud Lock in a way. Obviously, a lot better than him. I think that's the thing, the difference this time with him rather than the fluffy-haired fraud. There's no pressure on Nathan Fraser. Nathan Fraser can do whatever he wants. He's a kid. He should be out on loan, not being forced to play here when he's clearly not ready yet. But this is the kind of opposition in that he should have got a Championship loan, not a League One loan. This is the kind of opposition you'd think he should be playing against for his development. So, yeah, I'm with you, John. I'd really like to see him start through the middle with, well, we'll come to it in a bit, but Fraser to start through the middle would be great against Championship opposition, which he should be playing against anyway.
I agree. I like his directness. You mentioned it there. He was sort of being linked to a loan deal to Shrewsbury at the back end of the January transfer window. Felt probably League One probably wasn't right for his development. I felt like he should have been going to like a Championship side, similar to where Coventry are at now, trying to push for playoffs, being that sort of third striker to come off the bench in the latter periods of the game and just build up his physicality. I feel, apart from momentary flashes during games, I felt he's held up quite well physically. Calvin Bassey for Fulham roughed him up a couple of times on Saturday. But I thought across the 90 minutes, he ran well, caused problems. I think he was unlucky not to score the one chance that he got put through on goal for. Took his goal well, brilliantly against Brentford in the FA Cup. Was unlucky not to get one straight afterwards. So, yeah, it's hopefully a game that he can put his mark on trying to become a regular player for Wolves in the future, Nathan Fraser, this weekend.
But you know, I was about to say very quickly, that a chance that he didn't quite put in the back of the net on Saturday, what impressed me about him is that the shape of his body, the way he took that chance, that wasn't a stab at the ball, a slashing at the ball, a sort of let's hope and kick, I'm a young guy and it's all coming on top of me. If you look at that in the replay or even in a photograph of the way he shapes his body, he did everything right. And that gives me confidence to see a player stylistically get it right. It didn't quite get on target on that occasion, but he did everything he could in terms of a professional footballer to put that away. So I like the look of him.
Yeah, I like Nathan Fraser. I've been pushing for him since he got into the squad. That he should have been getting more minutes. He's got a proper haircut for one. Excuse me. It was nice to see. I might ruffle some feathers here, but I've got a minor soft spot for Celtic. So it was good to see Rangers and Fabio Silva go out of the Europa League tonight. So talk about that. That's for another time. I do like winding up my Rangers supporting friends. It's I'm not bothered about the league. We've won it enough times as a Celtic part-time fan. So we'll talk about that another time. Gary, playoffs within sight. How do you think that's going to conclude your season? Do you think you're going to scrape in there?
My feeling is we might just miss out. We don't have the biggest squad. And recently we've been really struggling in midfield, but luckily we've started to get a few bodies back in that area. We've got Leeds at home and Southampton away to come. We got draws against them both, Leeds away and Southampton at home. So, my feeling is we might just miss out. But if we do make the playoffs, it would be absolutely amazing again, obviously. We've got our new owner has he's basically said he wants us to get playoffs with three of the next five seasons. And the idea is to grow incrementally and then obviously build towards the Premier League. I honestly think we'll probably be in the Premier League in two, three seasons. But my feeling is we might miss out this season. I can't see, West Brom unfortunately dropping out, and that leaves just sixth place to play for. Norwich are in ridiculous form. Hull made some really good signings in the January transfer window. We've got them to play as well, actually. My feeling is we might just miss out, but even if we do, we'll probably finish in an eighth, ninth, which is still another excellent season considering we've had such a big rebuild job on the squad.
Not bad finishing eighth and getting to the quarterfinal.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You notice I said getting to the quarterfinal.
Yeah. I want to put the hypothetical question to you as well. Gary, you get past Wolves, you get Man City in the semi-final or playoffs. What are you picking?
Playoffs every day of the week. Yeah.
The don't want it, lads. The don't want it. I've said to him up. easy tapping, 1-0. The Darwaddy lads, the dog, they ain't up for it. We're on our way to Wembley.
The Cup's an added bonus at the end of the day for us. I mean, normally we go out in the third round. Last season, we actually probably know went out to Wrexham like on TV. So it is actually really nice to have a Cup run and actually get to a decent stage of the FA Cup because it's been a few years since we did. But yeah, for me, it's league over Cup. Obviously, it would be great to get to the semis. And, you know, there is obviously a chance we could do that. But if we get Man City in the semis, I worry about the score.
Well, that's what Watford said when they beat us in the semi-final.
Talk about our previous quarterfinals, going back to, I think it was 97, 98, 1-0 away at Leeds, Don Goodman with the winner. The most recent one, the 2-1 win over Man United at Molineux, one of the most raucous nights that I've witnessed at Molineux. Talk about some of your favourite FA Cup wins, John, over your lifespan.
Oh, my goodness me. And no, I'm not going back to Johnny Hancock. My mother could, but I'm not going back to Johnny Hancock. I mean, I was quarter-final-wise, I was actually at the game, I think it was in 73, when we beat Coventry on that occasion, 2-0 at Molineux, when we got to the semi-finals again then. I think that was the semi-final where John Richards could have scored and it just hit the foot of the post and Leeds knocked us out 1-0. I think that was it. But no, I mean, I've been to a few exciting quarterfinals. I'm probably going completely off piste with some of your younger listeners, but I remember a Manchester United quarterfinal. Although we lost it, we were 2-0 up and just let that one slip, unfortunately. But no, I mean, lots of big games, but I was talking to you before we went on air, I think, about the League Cup final that I went to in terms of games that I can remember. And I'll just throw this one now, if I can, in while I grab an opportunity. I'm a bit like a poacher, striker at 6 yards, see an opportunity and get it in the back of the net. And I was at the 74 final of the League Cup. And I found inside this programme that I was looking at this afternoon, thinking about our conversations tonight, and out of it dropped my ticket. So here's the question that I'm going to put to you guys and to everyone else watching and listening out there, and I'll give the answer later. But that ticket to the League Cup final, Wolves against Manchester City in 1974 at Wembley, cost how much? So I'm putting it out there. How much do you think it cost? And then maybe at the end of your programme or whatever, I'll reveal the answer. But how much do you think a League Cup final ticket, and I've got the ticket in my hand here and I can show it in the end, how much do you think a Wembley final ticket in 1974 cost?
We did joke off air, didn't we, guys, that we did query the currency, whether it was shillings or whatnot. Let us know in the comments section. We'll be posting a picture of John's ticket after the show. I'm going to go with roughly 20 pence, Stu.
Oh, I ain't going that low. I was going to say, it depends if he was in the Royal Box as well.
I'm
was next to Queen Elizabeth.
I'm a good working class Wolverhampton lad, don't worry.
I'll 150.
Gary?
I'm going to go £1.10.
Do you want me to
really,
review
really
it now?
Low, have a nice solo, 1974. People were on like £2 a week wage then, weren't they, John?
You keep asking me like kind of like as if I'm kind of Dick Whittington or something like that. It was like, and might I just say this to all of you? It'll come to you all, so don't take the piss. I'd like to be able to say, and I'll be there to remind you, but I probably won't.
John, you're talking about a game in 1974. My parents weren't even dating then.
Listen, I wish I'd never have raised the bloody thing now, but nonetheless. Let me know, but I'm interested in what everyone thinks. Interesting suggestions there, but let me know when you want me to give the answer, but I'll hold back until maybe everyone's had a think about that.
Chris Woodstock's gone for 80 pence. John, just tell us a bit more about that final, seeing Wolves win at Wembley. Obviously, we as a young fan base haven't tasted that sort of success yet.
Final
at the Millennium Stadium was good, John, but tell us about winning a League Cup, FA Cup, that sort of thing.
I'll tell you what, well, I can't tell you about winning the FA Cup because that was back in 1960 and I wasn't able to go to games then. But as far as I've been to three finals as far as Wolves are concerned, all the recent modern time finals, the 1974 Manchester City, the 1980 Nottingham Forest, and indeed, one of my greatest enjoyable moments, the Sherpa Van final against Burnley. But certainly, going back to the two League Cup finals, there's nothing like it. You know, you see your team out there and you feel a sense of pride as they're walking out there in the final. I know we've seen it when they attend a semi-final, recent semi-finals, but it's still not quite the same as a final. The build-up to it, the razzmatazz attached to a final itself, the sense of nerves that are in the supporters, even however confident they may be as to what may happen. I can remember the tastes, the smells of it. I can even remember the following day watching the Wolves 74 final win on Star Soccer with Hugh Johns. There you are. I've completely blasted you all. I don't know what I'm talking about here.
I know.
But I still remember the excitement of watching the highlights on a Sunday afternoon. It's the whole package with a final. It's the sights, the smells, the things that you can't actually quantify. But if you think, well, I've seen it in big games, I've seen it in semi-finals, I'll tell you, you haven't, unless you get to a final. It's just that feeling of, this is it, and we're all in it together. It's a great feeling, and I hope we can experience it this time around.
Educate some of the Wolves fans, Gary, of some of Coventry's most iconic FA Cup wins. Only the one FA Cup win that you've got in your history, but sort of just one-off matches that stand out for you as a Cov fan.
There isn't many, actually, in my time of watching us in the FA Cup. I remember playing Chelsea, I think, in 2009 at the Ricoh. They completely outclassed us, so they won. But to be fair, kept the score down to 2-0. But the team that day was ridiculous. I think they had John Terry, McAlealy, all sorts of... That was ridiculous. And then I remember in League Two, we beat Stoke. At the Ricoh, as it were, then I think we beat them 2-3-1, and Mark Hughes got sacked the next day, which took quite a lot of delight out of. They were dreadful, but really, obviously, we had the FA Cup final, which we won in 87, which is fantastic. But then again, we lost to Sutton in the next year. So, to be honest, in the FA Cup, I can't remember that many highlights. If I'm 100%, we did have a really good win a few years ago, about 2006, I think, or 2008, at Blackburn away, where they were in the Prem at the time, and I think we were in the Championship. We won 4-1, and Dele Adebola. I don't know how many of you remember him, but he turned into prime Messi. Went on a barnstorming run up the wing, cut into the box, and scored into the bottom corner, and we all couldn't quite believe it, but. We haven't had that many highlights in the FA Cup recently, I've got to be honest.
Hopefully, it's another season without a highlight in your FA Cup history, Gary. Tommy Taylor in the comment section says, was at the 87 Cup final when Coventry beat Spurs, and it was in the Coventry end. Hopefully, Wolves are going there this year. Dean Marsden's comment is saying, Dele Adebola, what a player. I can't paint a picture where Dele Adebola is a good player. I mean, he was just terrible from what I remember. It was more for Blues than for Coventry, Gary, so I'll have to take your word on that one.
That's the whole thing. He actually, you know, he was an okay Championship striker, but on that day against Blackburn, he was absolute beast. Out of nowhere.
He was like the Alex Iwobi effect in our current situation, where every single year, without fail, Dele Adebola was there to torture us for whatever reason possible.
I think the best thing that we can thank Coventry for, and again, I'm going back to maybe some of your older listeners, is Willie Carr. Because Willie Carr was a superb player for Coventry and indeed played against Wolves in the 73 quarter-final. And he scored that outrageous goal he set it up for Ernie Hunt, I think it was. I don't know whether Gary knows his Coventry history. He flicked it up with both feet into the air for Hunt to actually volley into the goal. If you watch it, if you haven't seen it, he was outrageous. And then a few years later, we signed Willie Carr, who became a stalwart in the midfield along with Ken Hibbett and others, pushing us on to some very, very big wins and successful seasons. So I always remember Coventry, particularly for Willie Carr.
Stuart was unfortunately injured for our recent charity seven-a-side game, but people compared him to Willie Carr or it was either Willie Carr or Wayne Carr. Wayne Carr, I think it was. Yeah, so, Stu, apart from the sort of recent Wolves Man United win that I mentioned, what sort of FA Cup wins in our history stand out for you?
I mean, I remember that one, the Don Gubber one, but I was, you know, I was slightly too young to go away, so I remember listening to that on the Wolf. The obvious one's the one at the Anfield one where we went with Andy Vyman doing rounding the keeper, and just to, I mean, the fact that he bought me a new laptop because I had a bet. This doesn't happen.
Go on. Sorry about that. Carry on.
You deleted me already. Just because Andy Vyman plays for them now, we can still talk about him with glee.
Got me right there. That did.
Yeah. That was a great day.
Richard Stearman, Andy Vyman, Harry Burgoyne being the last goalkeeper to win a game at Anfield for Wolves. Monumental day that was, Stu. 7,000 behind that goal.
Yeah, this bit. But again, like Gary, other than that, them two runs, we don't seem to have good cup memories, really. It's all embarrassment and disappointment more than anything else.
I did enjoy a lot of that cup run, to be fair, that season. The 2-0 win at Stoke was an enjoyable day, I think. That was the same season, wasn't it? Doherty free kick.
Yeah.
Helder Costa doing the backflip celebration, which we never saw again. Carl Hakimi having the greatest game of his career.
The Newcastle one was an important one in 2003 because that kick-started the season, didn't it, when we won the playoffs. And just to rub it in on Craig Bellamy's silly little face, that was enjoyable.
Talk to us about Craig Bellamy.
Was that the game where one of the Newcastle players pointed at their shirt and said, this is the Premier League?
Yeah, that was Craig Bellamy, John, yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because he was a good footballer, but all I'll ever remember him for is pointing at that badge and Kevin Muscat breaking his legs.
Were they connected?
Hopefully.
Muscat was 98-ish.
He was in Norwich, wasn't he, then?
Because that's why Norwich still sing that silly song, We only hate Wolves and Ipswich. And they hate us for the action of one player in one game. Stupid place.
Right. But none of us have mentioned that great result over Man U, though. And I don't think it was a quarter final, but the recent 2-1 was it? You know, the midweek game again, which was great atmosphere at that game. And I don't think we can have a discussion about impressive Wolves performances in the cup, particularly more recent ones, without at least name checking that game as well. We were worthy winners, and there was a great atmosphere at Molineux as well under the lights.
It felt like the whole momentum running up to that game against Man United was that we weren't going to lose that game under the sky. It weren't going to happen. Molineux under the lights. I think was it Saturday half-five or 8 o'clock, was it, Stu?
It was at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Wolverhampton. It was amazing.
Full of booze. Underdog mentality. We don't lose on nights like that. That's the concern, isn't it, going into the game on Saturday, is the fact that throughout this season and years gone by, when Wolves have gone into a game favourite, look back to the recent Sheffield United game, John.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure the mentality thing's an issue, but we just haven't seemed to have found that
I'll tell you what, though, that Sheffield United game, superb performance from the crowd. I mean, that Gary O'Neill's Barmy Army was going on so long, I was kind of unconsciously banging the chair with my hand like that. You know, it's subliminally got to you in the end, like hypnosis. The way the crowd got behind the team, particularly in those last 20 minutes against Sheffield, was absolutely astounding. And it may well be we'll need the crowd again to do that, because there's no doubt about it. Coventry are going to be fired up for this one. And that's perfectly properly that they are going to be fired up for this one. And I suspect that we might have to weather at least the first 10 minutes. But I know it's a cliche. If we get the first goal, particularly given the team that we've got, we like playing on the counter-attack, Coventry would then certainly have to come at us. And I think we're one of the few teams in any of the divisions where the fans cheer an opposition corner. Because as far as we're concerned, when the opposition get a corner, that's our best chance. So I think if we can get an early goal against Coventry, and I say this against a lot of teams, not just Coventry, we can get an early goal against Coventry and force Coventry to come at us. I think that could open the game up. I mean, my view is it's going to be tight if we don't get that early goal. But if we do get that early goal, it might not be as tight as we anticipate. But it's not going to be easy. But going back to that point about the Sheffield United game, that's the crowd, that's the Molyneux at its absolute best. And it really was the 12th player. And we might need that again on Saturday.
I think as long as there isn't any complacency or self-entitlement going into that game on Saturday, yeah, I think we've got enough quality and match winners to hopefully get through to the semi-final. Because it's going to be key. I can't remember the last, apart from beating Albion, which was like quarter to 12 kickoff, can't remember the last time we won a midday game, Stu.
No. And there is the sky blue elephant in the room as well, that they are playing in stripes this year.
Yeah.
And we know what happens.
But Gary O'Neill is the curse breaker, Stu. Yeah,
he is a curse breaker. And I did ask Gary about this, that they're not a true stripy team. So they have dalliance with full colour. So that I don't think that counts. But before people start on me and start asking me about it, Coventry do not count as a blue and white stripy team that can kill us. So curse breakers aside, I mean, I'm almost too confident, which is kind of annoying because I know what happens when I'm too confident like this. But I can't see anything other than a 2-0 win. I just can't. I think we'll have too much from them. And like you said, the Albion game. Yeah, we weren't brilliant in that game, but we didn't need to be. And we got it with some individual brilliance in the end through Neto and Cunha, but we were still very comfortable for the vast majority of that game, and that was a team who was better than Coventry. So for me, you've still got to get up for it. You've still got to be on the drink from 9 in the morning, because if we are silent, their 4,500 are going to out-sing us easily.
I don't really want to talk about it, Gary, but Stu has mentioned it. You got absolutely slapped by West Brom the other week. How?
We were just really poor first half, and I think we got done by down both fullbacks got done. I mean, Mikey Johnson's first goal was a bit ridiculous, really. But, Milan Van Ewijk doesn't normally get out kind of outdone like that, and it was a great finish, but yeah, should never have had the chance to get into that position anyway. And then we had our right back De Silva. He messed up at the start of the second half. From the other side, 2-0 down, uphill battle. We got a penalty, didn't we? But then even after the penalty, we didn't really look like we could get back in it. We were just quite poor, actually, on the whole that night. Luckily, we had a good night out afterwards, which we made up for the whole day. But yeah, it was a really poor performance, really, especially first half.
Let's have a look at your side for the predicted weekend, Gary. Going for sort of a 4-3-3. Just running through some players that we need to be aware of.
Well, actually, you missed out Callum O'Hare there, and I don't know what Robbins will do, because Callum O'Hare's actually only been coming off the bench recently. Okay. Oh, he's there. Sorry, I'm going blind. But if he plays Callum O'Hare, he'll probably play Callum O'Hare in the number 10. Torp had a glute injury. He came off of a glute injury against Watford, but apparently he's trained today, so he should be fit. We signed him in January from the Danish league, and he looks really promising. I think I told you this dude, didn't I? He scored on his debut against Sheffield Wednesday, which was a good cracking goal. He's kind of been brought in to replace Hamer. He's not like for like, but and Ben Sheaf's just back from injury. He's had an absolutely fantastic season, probably one of the best kind of holding defensive midfielders in the league. Milan Van Ewijk, on his day, he's super quick. He's got a little bit of trickery. He probably has been a bit poor recently. And then obviously on their day, certainly Hadji Wright can be a game changer, it's an odd one with Hadji Wright. He can play off the left or he can play up front, but he's actually better coming off the left wing. So I don't know how we might play five at the back, or we might play a kind of four at the back. I think we're more secure with four at the back, but we'll see what Robbins does. But certainly Hadji can cut in off the left, or he can play up front, and he can go from carpet beater to world beater in the space of 10 minutes, to be quite honest. So he's one to watch out for. Ellis Sims had a really slow start to life, but he's just actually scored back-to-back home hat-tricks, and one of them was against Maidstone and the other one was against Rotherham. He's not really done it against the top teams in the league so far, so it would be nice if he could put in a decent performance and maybe grab a goal. And Casey Palmer is one that again, he can be brilliant, but he can also be really frustrating. But he can pick a pass and score a worldie out of nowhere. So we've got some good threats. It depends how we. I don't know quite how we line up. I say we might go five at the back, but hopefully, I'd like to see us go four at the back and kind of similar to what you've got there. Probably Victor Torp and Sheaf in the middle. Callum O'Hare, the number 10. You're probably all aware of Callum O'Hare, but he's probably not at his best recently. He had a good spell when he came back from injury, but again, he can pick a pass. He's been scoring recently, so he's another threat to look out for. He links the play really well. So, yeah, we've got threats. We normally score at least one goal. I think we went 19 games. We've just got 19 games where we scored consecutively until, I think it was Preston, who randomly beat us 3-0 at home. But yeah, we've got threats all over the pitch, really. But like you say, if you play to your strengths with the strength of your team and the money you've spent on players, you should win comfortably. But who knows?
I've been listening to a lot of two or three Coventry City podcasts this week in the lead up to the game. The return of Ben Sheaf does seem to be one of the main factors where a lot of Coventry fans feel like if he has a good game, could be a big part of how you get a victory on Saturday, Gary?
Massively, yeah. So Ben Sheaf came on against Watford for his return. He'd been out with, I can't remember, it was a calf injury. He'd been out for a number of weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. So yeah, massive to have him back. And it genuinely has been one of the best in the league. His stats are up there as the best in the league. We signed him for 750k from Arsenal. He's just getting better and better now. Quite often he's taking the captain's armband. But yeah, he's a great player. And hopefully Victor Torp. We've not actually seen Victor Torp and Ben Sheaf play together yet since we signed Victor Torp in January, because either one or the other has been injured. So it might be a chance that we get to see both of them together for the first time, which could be quite tasty. But he may not play Torp. He may put him on the bench. And then there's a chance he may play Josh Eccles in the middle, who's another, he's come on through the academy. Or he might even play Josh Eccles at right back, because he can do both jobs. But hopefully play attacking-wise, he'd go for Milan. But let's see what he does, yeah.
You mentioned in the recent West Brom game that you got sort of caught out down your flanks. Who is the stronger of your fullbacks out of Bidwell and the Van Ewijk?
Defensively, Jake Bidwell is just action man. I don't know whether you saw, whether you watched us on Sky against Leicester, but he got completely taken out by Fatua, I think it was, and he just got up and carried on, and then he got a red card. But yeah, he's just, he's like a grumpy hunchback, but he just, he's just like a Rolls Royce, Mr. Reliable. So he's not the best going forward, but he still has his moments. But certainly Milan can normally he's a great defender, but he's not been at his best recently. And he can produce a bit of magic. He's really, as I think I said to you, Stu, we got him from the Eredivisie and he's quickest fullback in that league. So he probably hasn't quite hit the heights yet. But I think there's probably a bit of a bedding in period on his day. He's excellent. So those two are the strongest, I'd say. We've also got Jay De Silva, who can play on the left. But for me, he gets done quite often defensively and he's a bit too small.
Just have a quick look at what we've predicted the Wolves side on Saturday to be on the screen there. We've got Jose, so obviously starting goal, back three of Toti, Santi Breno, as it looks like Craig Dawson is going to be out with the groin injury he sustained after the Newcastle game. I've gone for Matt Doherty again at right wing back. He started every other FA Cup tie this season. I feel like we're going to need his experience again on Saturday. Nelson Semedo probably could start in front of him, but I feel like Gary O'Neill probably will stick with him at right wing back. And Matt Doherty does love a goal in the FA Cup, like I just mentioned, just after that screamer away at Stoke City a few years back. Midfield centre of João Gomes and Tommy Doyle. Ryan Aitnori, left wing back hybrid, just here, there and everywhere. What I'm classed as one of our main potential match winners on Saturday. Nathan Fraser leading the line with Mario Lemina and Pablo Sarabia. Literally just getting into as many pockets then thieves on as much as they can on Saturday. They're going to be important for us to get the win. Any changes you suggest there, John?
No, I just looking and listening to what you have to say, trying to think of something contra or interesting to say differently. But I think you got it right there. I think that's a strong team, or the, one of the strongest teams he can put out in the circumstances that we're in at the moment. And Gary's always taken the competition seriously. And this is obviously now we're getting to the business end of it. There's no reason why he shouldn't as well. Going back a little to just briefly on the general selection of teams, including Coventry. I'm just wondering whether the tactics, particularly as far as Coventry are concerned, are going to be dictated by the fact that there's no, as far as I understand it, there's no replay. So if Coventry are going to get a result, it's not a matter of, unless they're going to go for penalties, and that's a high-risk strategy, it's not a matter of parking the bus, as it were, and bringing us back to their place. And I was just wondering whether Gary thinks that Coventry are going to have to slightly adjust what their tactics might have been going for a replay, knowing that they're not going for a replay and therefore be a little more expansive, whether they really are going to park the bus. And I'd be interested to know in due course what Gary thinks about that, being knowledgeable of his own team. But as far as our team's concerned, I think that's a good, that's good. Get Cunha on if we needs be in the last half hour or there or thereabouts. And yeah, go with that team. Absolutely.
Any suggestions from you, Stu? Apart from, I think maybe Somalia is probably the only one that potentially could start instead of Doherty on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, there is the option of Hugo Bueno as well, and you play Ait Nouri in a front three. Play, I mean, when he was playing on the right wing towards the end of the game last week, he was brilliant, which again makes no sense whatsoever when he's a left back. But that if Hugo Bueno came in and just gave Ait Nouri just free rein to just go and do whatever the hell he wants, because he's got the only one with any kind of flair left who's not been knackered. You look at the position where he scored his goal from. That was on the right-hand side with his right foot. So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So how would we shape up with Hugo Bueno starting? Because obviously Ryan Ait Nouri has to start, Stu.
I'd put him, yeah, like that. With Joe Gomez and Lamina in the middle. Tommy Doyle out, unfortunately. Ait Nouri there with Sarabia, and just let them do whatever they want. Both either side, they're more than capable of doing either side. But then you've got the wild card of moving Lamina to the madness of last Saturday. That worked, yeah. But we've got no bench otherwise. We can't just be putting everyone on there. So if you're leaving Semedo out, which I wouldn't personally, I know Doc has played everywhere, like you said, but it's the pace. He's not the best at pace, is he? As we all know. So I would go as strong as possible. Doc at left back might be a better option. The form Semedo's in, I can't see him dropping Semedo.
I think I made this comment when I was previously on your show about Tommy Doyle. I can't remember what the game was I was talking about, but I think, again, this is just the sort of game we need to play with Doyle's tenacity in the middle there to play. Whilst I agree with everything Stu says, and you know, makes a great argument for what he's just put out there, where I slightly disagree with Stu is I think this is just the sort of game that Tommy Doyle would revel in and understand and perform in. So I'd probably start with him, but you know, we're not the manager, are we? But I think this is a game for the players like Tommy Doyle to be in there.
The fact we've got options despite having half our team broken, it's still good quite point. Amazing.
Good point. Well, that's a mark A of the manager and B of the players actually playing as a team and supporting each other. You know, this wouldn't have happened a few years ago. There's no doubt about that.
Massive game. I'm with you. I think Tommy Doyle's one of the first names on the team sheet. Not the first. I think sort of players like João Gomes, Ryan Ait Nouri, the players for me on Saturday, that's going to win us this game. Mario Lamina, another match winner. Pablo Sarabia should be as the highest earner at Wolves, having a big impact on this game with the quality of talent that he has. Go on, Gary.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Are we just nodding in approval?
I was just shifting in my chair. Okay.
See, Gary approves of Pablo Sarabia. He doesn't even know who he is. See,
it's all on you. I do. I've watched you a fair bit, and I do like look at Tommy Doyle, I must say.
Yeah. Obviously, we just had our squad up on the screen there, Gary. What have you made towards this season so far?
I think I said to Stu at the start of the season, I wasn't sure how you perform. And obviously, I don't think Gary O'Neill did that well at was it Bournemouth he was at? I don't, you know, he didn't have the best of time. So I wasn't really sure how you'd go, but you've been pretty decent, really, haven't you? I mean, I'm not sure on your finances, but I don't think you spent a massive amount of money in the summer, did you? So I was quite surprised to see you kind of comfortably in mid-table, if I'm honest, but you've got a fantastic squad still. So, yeah, you don't get to, I think you've lost 11 all season in the Premier League, so you don't get to that position without being a solid team. And these, and you're scoring a lot more goals than you were. So, yeah, there's no doubt that if you're on your game, you should comfortably beat us. But in answer to your question, John, I don't see Robbins actually coming and parking the bus. I don't really see the point in that, and I don't think that's what... I mean, obviously, I know you're good on the counter, but so are we, actually. So I would be surprised if he tries to sit on a 0-0 or something and hope to nick a goal. I mean, he may go down that route, but I would hope he... we're coming to have a good go at you, hopefully.
Yeah, be a good game. No doubt about it. I'm expecting it to be a good game for sure.
Right, I'm going to try something new on the Wolves Fancast match preview this week. It might be a little long-winded. It might be something that we stick with. I'm starting a new thing called Wolves Betcast, using the Sky bet builder process. We're all going to pick each a player to have a shot on target and a player each to have a yellow card, and we're going to see what odds that comes up to. So, John, I'm going to come to you first. A player for either side to have a shot on target on Saturday.
Oh, gosh. As far as Wolves is concerned...
Well, yeah, unless you want to go for a Coventry
player. I'm not as knowledgeable with Coventry, so I'll have to stick with my own team. Certainly, shot on target, I would go for Lamina for a shot on target. And what was the other...
A player to be booked during the game. So Mario Lamina, one shot on target, is currently at 4-6 with Skybet. A player to be booked, John?
A player to be booked... I'm going to go for Aitnouri. I think Aitnouri probably is going to be the player to be booked. He plays high tempo. Things can get a bit juicy in his position, depending on how Coventry are going to try and stop him. He sometimes reacts, and sometimes Gary has to calm him down. This is no disrespect to him. I think I'd be the same playing for Wolves in this game. But I suspect he may be the first to get booked.
Gary, for you?
Shot on target, I would probably say Hadji Wright. And to get booked, I would say more likely our centre-back Liam Kitching. He can be a little bit hot-headed occasionally.
Liam Kitching to be booked for Coventry on Saturday is currently 9-4 with Skybet. Stu, what about yourself?
Joe Gomez to be booked. he's weird. He doesn't seem to be booked that often. But in your mind, then he does mad things like at Brentford and just get sent off and bad for three games. Shot on target. So I would have said Hadji Wright, but I presume we've got to tell someone else, are we?
Let's go with another one. I was going to say Hadji Wright, two shots on target, but I don't want to manifest that.
No, we don't want that. Just Sarabia then, free kicks. So, yeah.
Right. So, according to that, I'll try and get it up on screen in a second. But as we just discussed live on the Wolves Fancast via the Skybet bet builder process, Mario Lamina, one shot on target. Ryan Aitnouri to be yellow carded. Hadji Wright, one shot on target. Liam Kitching to be booked. João Gomes to be booked. And Pablo Sarabia, one shot on target. Is odds of 150-1. If that's not worth a pound, guys, I don't know what is. Thanks for joining us on tonight's Wolves Fancast match preview in association with Audi, the Boston Coffee Company, and Shoot Music Promotions. I've got one tiny bit of a quiz element before we close off tonight. Back in 1995, guys, I know you were all born and very mentally functioning at that point in your lives. Wolves played Coventry in the 1995 fourth round of the Coca-Cola Cup. You have to name a player that started in that game, and it's basically sudden death. I'm going to come to you first. Gary, being our guest on this week's show, you need to remember a Coventry player or a Wolves player from the 95-96 season that played in the Coca-Cola Cup fourth round fixture between Wolves and Coventry at Molineux.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to start off with Steve Grizovic, but I'm probably wrong straight away.
Steve Grizovic was in goal for Coventry that night. He got sent off.
Hey.
So, yeah, that's a correct answer. I'm going to come to you, Stu.
Andy Thompson,
I believe, was playing left wing back that evening. Wolves was playing back five back then, because we always had a back five and pace and attack, even back in the mid-90s. John, 95-96, scramble that mind.
The pressure on me, a little after my time, that's a joke. I'm probably going to go Matt Murray.
Oh, Steve. John, 1995.
No.
That was too early for Matt Murray, wasn't it?
Way too early for Matt Murray. You're out, John.
Yeah.
You're out, John. I'll run through the team in a bit.
At least I didn't say Phil Parks.
No, I mean, you might have been closer. He was probably the same ability as the goalkeeper who played in goal that day. Gary, can you try and think of another player?
I'm going to say Paul Telfer, but I'm not sure if that's...
You're doubting yourself, right, Gary, but you're correct again. Paul Clark, I believe, played right mid for Coventry.
Come on, the honour of Wolves now rests with you.
I mean, you just said that about the goalkeeper, so it's either Stoll or Jones, and it was a cup game, so did they do that then? Oh, the pressure. I won't go with that. I'll go New Lemblin.
I mean, the fact that John and Stu hasn't mentioned Steve Ball back in the middle of 1995 boggles my mind. You could have had players like Don Goodman, Dean Richards, Darren Ferguson played for Wolves that night.
I was not here. I'm way out.
The goalkeeper that evening for Wolves, guys, was Mike Stoll.
Yeah.
Coventry had some serious retro 90s players, including Peter Unlove, Dion Dublin, Gordon Strachan.
I was going to say Strachan.
Centre half for Coventry that night, Paul Williams, who got a consolation as Wolves ran out 2-0 winners on the night. We got beat by Aston Villa in the quarterfinal that season, who they went on to win the Coca-Cola Cup, which still grates me. Tommy Johnson, the ginger bleeder, breaking my heart as a flipping 7-8 year old, or however old I was. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on tonight's Wolves Fancast match preview. We've got a few things that a little bit of housekeeping before we close the night. We've got a giveaway on our Twitter page at the moment. You can get a unframed A4 poster of Raul Jimenez's goal against Man United in the quarterfinal from a few years ago. All you got to do is find our pinned tweet, retweet the post, and follow Wolves Fancast. Our friends at Art of Football have new garments being released on their licensed Wolves range tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Head over to their website, search them on Google, Art of Football. Some lovely garments, well created, very stylish. So yeah, get yourself over to Art of Football. I've kicked out Stu again. Yeah, thanks for joining us. I don't think I've actually come to the actual score prediction. So, John, Wolves Coventry on Saturday, 12:15, Molineux, FA Cup quarterfinal. Score prediction?
2-0 Wolves.
First goal scorer, John?
First goal scorer, I will go for Lamina again.
Gary?
I think my... honest...
What's your head saying and what's your heart saying, Gary? Give us both.
Well, my heart would be loving a 2-1 win, but I think my head's saying probably 3-1 to you. So I'm going to go 3-1 Wolves, but a decent performance.
You've obviously gone for 3-1 and a 2-1. 3-1 Wolves, 2-1 Coventry. Who's your Coventry goal scorer on Saturday?
I'm going to go with Callum O'Hare.
Callum O'Hare.
It'll be proper fired up against you guys. And he wants to play in the Premier League, so he's got a point to prove.
He is a player, has been linked to a lot of clubs in recent seasons. Obviously, a tidy player. Probably can play higher than the Premier League, but if he is going to reach that level with or without Coventry, he needs to be making a marker on Saturday, doesn't he, Gary? Stu, your score prediction. Did you go for 2-0 earlier?
Yeah, I said 2-0 earlier. We have got to find out the cost of the ticket as well before we forget. I'll go with Max, first goal scorer. It's about time.
Have yourself a look on Skybet or any of our respective betting partner. But gamble safely and responsibly. Wolves 2-0 and Max Kilman would get decent odds, I imagine. Probably 25-30-1 plus maybe. John, give us the price of that 1974 League Cup final ticket between Wolves and Man City. I went for 20 pence. Stu went for £1.
50.
£1.50. And Gary went for?
About 10.
£1.10. What is it, Gary?
And the answer is £2.
£2. Yes. 1974. The safe Terry seat. Row 14. Wolves against Man City. Wolves ran out winners on the day. Hopefully, we can make another
look
visit.
Look how well kept it is as well. Not a crease.
In beautiful condition.
Show us the back of that programme as well, John.
The back of the programme?
I was expecting some sort of like pre-printed lineups.
Hold on. I'll see whether there is one. I don't think they did. But yes, they did. Yeah, here you go. Did you see it? Hold on.
Phil Parks, Jeff Palmer, Derek Parkey, Mike Bailey, the captain of the day, Frankie Munro, John McCall, Barry Pell, Kenny Ibbitt, John Richards, Derek Dugan, and Waggy with the substitute Alan Sunderland, Rodney Marsh, Dennis Law, and Franny Lee for Coventry that day.
Where's the City team? I don't know whether you've got it there.
Yeah, some big names on there. I just mentioned Franny Lee, Colin Bell, Mike Summerby. Dennis Law, Rodney Marsh, serious team, and Wolves ran out 1-0 winners, wasn't it, John?
2-1, get it right.
2-1, sorry.
Yeah. Hibbert and Richards.
Hopefully, we can get back to Wembley again this season, guys. Just a quick reminder of a little bit of trivia. The only time Wolves have beat West Brom in the FA Cup, Wolves went on to win the Cup. Thanks for joining us. Press the like button and subscribe on your way out. Please share the channel to all your friends, families and enemies who might want to watch a bit of football content on a Thursday night and beyond. In association with our friends at Shoot Music Promotions, we're plugging Gareth Dunlop's track, I Don't Feel You, this week on the show. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Sunday and hopefully we're more than up for the cup. We're on our way to winning it. See you later.
Bye-bye. Thank you.